dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Well, hello, SVC fans, and welcome once again to SVC Sports Talk, brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. This is Season 7, Show 191, Triple Crown, our billboard sponsor, where you find all kinds of fun under one roof, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, open 7 days a week. You can give them a call at 740-773-7529, look them up on the web, TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com, and we appreciate, as always, their sponsorship of this and all of our 191 shows. I want to welcome the two gurus of SVC Sports Talk, those being one, Mr. Shane Combs of SVC Sports Zone. How are you, Shane?
Doing great, Bruce. Busy time of year in the fall, and especially here in these first 3 weeks, Derek, when we get not just the four SVC matchups, but you have eight different games to follow. And for you, that makes about 10 or 11. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
And we'll bring in Mr. Derek Webb. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, my life has been a blur this past week. So and then, of course, with the volleyball race coming up and you know, volleyball conference nights, it'll be more of a blur this next week. Uh-huh. So these first 3 weeks of football are tough.
Yep. Well, let's talk a little bit about football. We've now encountered week one, as you alluded to there. And I want to kind of just let's dip our foot into it a little bit here. I want to ask you both to give me a headline from this past week. What would that headline be? And then if you can, explain why you would call that headline a headline.
Well, for me, I mean, I don't have the writing of headline skill set of one Derek Webb, but I mean, something along the lines of defense, Derek, for me, I mean, whatever clever way you want to go about it. I mean, I think when I go across the way there with our five teams that win, I think we had what, two shutouts, four different teams scored. The turnovers were too many to count. Even on the losing side, keep in mind Huntington's defense only gives up 14 of those 28. Burn Union scores off of a sack strip and a scoop and score, and then they off of a kickoff return. I know Piketon, playing a really good Waverly team, competed really well. Obviously, Westfall's the one team that is maybe trying to still find themselves defensively, but I think Derek and I both kind of knew that going in. But, yeah, I mean, across the board, you could argue that defense is always going to be ahead of offense early in the year, but, yeah, the defense certainly shined as far as I was concerned, Derek.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. If I'm going a different route just because you pick defense, I'd pick, solid start. I mean, 5-3. With our teams in the SVC, and then if you look at the losses, you mentioned Westfall. You look at the Piketon, well, you know, that's a tough Waverly team, and then you look at Huntington, as you just mentioned. So, I mean, I think Westfall could have easily won their game if they, you know, when they shore up that defense. I really think they're going to be a different team, or a dangerous team, if you would. But I think the SVC could have easily gone 6-2, 7-1 this past week.
You know, and Bruce, I know you had a chance to see the Union of Vinton County game. I know there was an interesting rule change that a couple people, I'd heard some other people talk about different things with equipment. You guys had come across something down there that was kind of unique to the Uniota squad, didn't you?
Yes, I saw the Uniota Vinton County game, at which Uniota was victorious, and was able to watch Gabe Fisher and the boys throughout that game, and I think it was maybe once in the first half and maybe two, if not three times in the second half. The situation, first of all, was there was an equipment infraction, and initially they, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they marched off 5 yards or something like that. Then there was a meeting of the minds of the Zebras out there, and they pulled the ball back, and then they turned to Gabe, and they motioned that he would be taken out for one play. And I didn't know exactly what the equipment infraction emanated from, but I was told later by some of the guys on the chain gang that Gabe wasn't wearing his mouth guard. Maybe had it up in the rack on his birdcage or something like that. I don't know. But I thought that was strange. Apparently there was a rule change then that no longer gives you a penalty, but just makes you sit out a play for the offender.
Well, I know they drive the safety stuff constantly with coaches, and I'm sure in football it's about times 10, mm-hmm. and rightfully so. I know Derek, like when kids lose a helmet, things like that, a safety thing to get the attention of it. But at the same time, you know, as a coach, you're going to start driving that home, because last thing you want on a 3rd and 5 or a 4th and 5 is to have Gabe Fisher on the sidelines. So, you know, I'm sure it's something that, you know, they're almost putting it back on the coach of like, hey, he's got to have his mouthpiece in. So that's kind of interesting to see if that comes up a little bit more throughout the year.
My question would be, you know, which is worse, be on the sideline for one play, or the loss of, you know, it just happened to be Gabe in this situation, but
I was going to say it depends what down the distance and who the player is.
Yeah, okay. So, well, I thought that was kind of a step back. It wasn't as in my mind initially, it wasn't as severe, you know, giving up the 5 yards or whatever it would be. So just something that was kind of strange, and I wanted to mention that since it had an SVC flavor in the game Friday night. Hey, we had a lot of fan feedback, and I'm going to cut and let Shane pick this up because he's the one that receives the feedback. But first, apparently there was some feedback about people playing both ways.
Well, Derek, for me on this playing both ways, I certainly understand where the coaches are coming from. You know, in a day and age where they talk more and more about getting numbers out, and obviously the number is very, very important, I think it's the ability to get more kids involved. Even if you're on a bottom half of the league team, if you're able to use 20, 25, maybe even 30 different kids throughout the night, they're starting to feel more a part of it. The chances of keeping those freshmen, sophomores out into the future is really thinking about when you take your best. Tough thing, though, here is I think people make a valid argument when they start asking about when you take your best athletes off the field and they're not playing both ways, are you truly getting your best 11 out there, and can it cost you at pivotal times? An example of this, even though I know this isn't what we're talking about both ways, an example of this that I see all the time in high school comes, say, on special teams. You know, you'll see that's when they'll try to get a break for those elite athletes or the kids that are out there on a lot of snaps. And a lot of times you'll see that ball kick deep to that best athlete on the other team, and you'll see a major return. Or you'll see, you know, the other night, I know in the Vinton County game they had the bad snap. I know in the Bourne Union Huntington game, you had the kickoff return for a touchdown. You constantly see some big plays in the special teams, and I think that's what happens. Is I think that it's a back and forth argument that's very valid. I understand why coaches are doing it. Want to stay fresh into the third, fourth quarter. Want to increase those numbers. Want to get more and more kids involved. But man, at the high school level, you certainly oftentimes have a big gap from that 6th, 7th, 8th guy on your depth chart compared to that 19, 20, 21 in terms of athletes. Maybe a Zane Trace gets away with it. Maybe a Paint Valley in their elite years, or Pike didn't get away with it. But just very difficult, in my opinion. Just intriguing to get your take on this, Derek, because like the other night, you're watching two bigger schools, two good football teams play. Maybe it's a little different for them, but how would you react to some of the comments you've heard or viewed in terms of the SVC on this topic?
Well, you know, you talk about two bigger divisions. In schools, you know, Taze Valley and Chillicothe was where I, you know, as you mentioned earlier, was where I was at this past Friday night. And again, two Division II schools, and you know, late in the game, Chillicothe's leading 31-27, and Brandon Coleman, Taze Valley's quarterback, is a great athlete, a dual threat. He can run, he can pass, he can pretty much do it all. You know, he's just marching the Vikings right down the field with just over 2 minutes to go. And Coach Ron Hinton looks over at his all Ohio quarterback and says, "Hey, get in there at cornerback." And Chillicothe has some youth. He has some youth at the cornerback position. So, you know, as soon as Moth percepts on the field, Coleman goes right at him, and the first pass he steps in and knocks a ball down, and it just changes the complexion of the game. And that's the difference there. Maybe, I mean, you never know how it would play out. It could be the difference between 1-0 and 0-1 for the Cavaliers. And you know, say he gets hurt on that play, Chillicothe may win 3 or 4 games this year. I mean, because Brandon Mopper does it all for them. So I think when the game's on the line, it really comes crunch time, you know, in a decision-making process to say, okay, do we want to get experience or do we want to get a win?
See, that's fascinating to me. Yeah. Let me jump in real quick and then you come back here. That's fascinating to me that even a school that size, and again, Ron Hinton, to turn to that games, you know, even at a school that size with the game on the line to turn to that level of athlete, that, I guess that's my point there in terms of the urgency or the need to get people on the field. The other thing I guess is interesting, and I'm sure Moffmer falls into this, is in the day of the spread offense and the way that, you know, it's funny about how like a lot of quarterbacks don't play defensive back, but they'll carry the ball 25 times. And it's not just quarterback, it's wide receivers, it's running back, it's whoever. It's just that's fascinating to me to see that the Moffmer example there at a bigger school.
Well, and you say quarterback carrying the ball 20, 25 times, that easily goes over into the SVC. You look at Zach Gibson this past Friday night. You look at Elijah McCloskey. I mean, and you look at Elaine Ruby, and you know that list continues to go on and on. So yeah, I mean, you're taking their hits, but when it comes up on defense, do you put that person in? Do you want to win the game? So I think that's what it comes down to.
Good stuff. Yeah.
All right. Another fan feedback. It says, it seems to me that predicting the SVC this year is really hard. Any reasons why?
Well, to me, guys, I think football is really hard to predict early. I think what happens is because of the line play, so much of football is what takes place up front on both sides of the ball. And those are names a lot of times that maybe we don't know. And sometimes the media gets the bad rep. But a lot of times it's where coaches don't take advantage to talk to us or talk on the radio or talk to different things or to highlight their running back's stats and talk about that offensive line or whatever. I think sometimes we at the media get the bad rap. But I think scheduling is another reason. I think a lot of times you're playing different levels of competition in the first 3 weeks. So sometimes it takes getting into that fourth week and getting some SVC opponents or taking a look at some like opponents. But to me, Derek, football has always been really tricky the first, say, 2 or 3 weeks to predict.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I mean, for the first 3 weeks, we look at it in the picks, and we have the weekly pick'em contest, which actually we both did pretty well in this past week. But usually that first week one, week two, week three, you don't know what's going to go on. When it gets to the league schedule, you can kind of think, okay, well, this team's better than this team this year. But yeah, on the non-league schedule, it's kind of hit and miss. And I'd taken Adina and McLean game this past Friday, and why I thought Adina was going to win that game, I didn't think they were going to win 27-0. I thought Huntington had a real shot at beating Bern Union, and then as you said, special teams came into the mix. So it's hit or miss. I mean, it's kind of like picking in basketball last year, other than, you know, the Uniota at the top there. Any team beats anybody on any given night, but it makes it fun. It makes it fun to cover for us.
Certainly does. Yeah.
It's hard to look at a season. I mean, look, the Browns are what, 3-0, and the Bengals are 0-3 in the preseason. That doesn't mean anything, does it, Derek?
Well, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, we're going to get personal now. no, that'll probably be, they'll both be 0-3. That's the only difference in the,
All right, well, we'll get back to that. Fans, stay with us. Up next, we play through and respond to last week's feedback on holding kids back, lack of love for league titles, and the tradition of the Ross County Fair. Show 191 of SVC Sports Talk rolls on now, and we go to our playing through segment, which is brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Shane?
Yeah, it's a great facility up there. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. Not just for you to go up and just play a normal round, but I would tell a lot of businesses, a lot of our programs listening across the SVC, if you're looking for a place for a golf outing, great, great room for these types of things, banquet facilities, seat a couple hundred people. I know I enjoy going up there and playing, but I know I enjoy playing in scrambles up there more than just about any other place because of just the overall facilities. So again, give them a call, 740-986-4653. And guys, in the playing through segment this week, certainly don't want to cheat Uniote out of the coverage as Luke Gerber fires the 39, Ty Schoblock with 40, and Uniote responds and gets piked in by just two strokes. So good to see Jamie Clifford back. So they look like they're here to stay. It's going to be interesting. Right now, you got a lot of kids shooting some really good scores leading up to these matches, and then when the lights come on that night, maybe not so much, but I think a lot of that has to do with what I was talking about. Coach Lee Master talking to us last week about just how much of the league is not back. But I guess beyond, obviously we're going to cover the high school league throughout, but I guess the other things that jump out at me, guys, on the golf side, the girls side, Westfall making an improvement, and they're really setting up for a huge run here. They have 2-3 kids that are consistently shooting some good scores, and they're about ready to get a big jolt to their program, guys. I don't know if you caught this on the website earlier this week. Maddie Schultz, a junior high golfer, 8th grade student at Westfall, shot a 35 in their first junior high match the other night. And I've seen some video of this young lady swing the club, and it is impressive. I mean, it almost makes me sick myself to, like, videotape my swing and watch it. But, I mean, this kid's obviously grown up around the game a little bit and just has a real good feel for it. But that's going to be an exciting story to watch. So make sure you're also checking out our junior high page throughout the year and follow what she did. I know Uniote won the team event that night. But yeah, she takes the medal honors at 35. So I guess, you know, we always take a lot of pride in our golf coverage. It's just interesting, Derek. Obviously, our main focus is on the varsity league there. But at the same time, we have a varsity girls team there at Westfall doing some good things. And then anytime a kid at the junior high level performs that way, it's hard as a sports fan not to take notice.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I mean, I can't wait till she does get to high school so I can, you know, actually write about her. I know I could probably write about the middle school kids, you know, a lot. But, you know, when I'm covering 12 high schools, it kind of gets hard to do that.
Absolutely.
Get lost in the shuffle. Yeah. But I've heard that name, and I know she's coming up. And you know, I wrote an article about Lauren Ragland and Emily Lott. And I know Westfall and Piketon's have a girls, varsity golf teams. But when you hear a name like that anytime in middle school, I kind of go back to like a Dylan Swingle in middle school. You know, a kid is, you know, 6'5", 6'6", in middle school, and you're like, oh, he's going to be a good one. You know, same thing you could say about the Schultz girl. I mean, it's going to be fun to cover.
A 35.
Absolutely. Any take? Sorry, Bruce. I at the same time, I threw that in there. At the same time, Derek, I wanted to give you a chance to comment. You know, Uniote, I guess technically they win and they come back a little bit. Maybe still not playing up to where we thought they were going to be. Just, I mean, does that make you feel a little bit more confident about the direction the league's going to go? Or with Piketon getting Clifford back, you think we're in for a real duel here over the last month of the season?
You know, Kevin Moore seems to think, Piketon's coach, he seems to think that Piketon's right there with everybody. And I mean, sure. Hey, they've won one and without Jamie Clifford. So, I mean, then they lose by two strokes, just two strokes, if you would, in SBC number two. So, you know, I really think it's going to be a two-horse race. I think Pike's going to stay right there with them. They're well-coached, and, you know, they know how to play the game, and they've got kids back that, you know, I think we talked about this last week, that we weren't really sure they were going to contribute, and then they just kind of come out of nowhere. So while we thought they were rebuilding, they were reloading. And, you know, Uniote always stays the course. So I really think it's going to be a two-horse race.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting, Bruce, because Piketon gets the home match here in SBC match number three at Big Beaver, very similar to a Dogwood-style course that Piketon was able to beat Uniote on. So that'll be something to watch here that I'm sure we'll talk about next week.
Yep, and a 35, that would be my score after about three holes. So that is wonderful.
Yeah.
We had incredible feedback on some of our general topics last week, and we're going to bring you that information as a sponsored by CNK Athletic Equipment. They're located up at 116 East High Street in Circleville. And they are your source for SVC local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. You can give them a call, 740-477-9828, and tell them the boys from SVC Sports Talk sent you. Well, if you recall last week on our 190th episode, we covered, we talked first about kids being held back. Specifically, we talked about maybe the eighth graders. And Shane, one of our listeners, kind of commented and said, why not have kids be more successful in the sports and classroom? Isn't that the reason?
Yeah, that seems to be the summary of the feedback. You know, I had a couple passionate emails. I had a talk with a parent whose kids are now grown, that they experienced this when they were younger, as a parent when their kid was coming through junior high. I had an awesome conversation with my brother the other night. He has a really neat take on it. I know he said that he was about ready to yell at us through the phone at times, because he really, the more he studies it, he sees some things in favor of it. But I guess I stay pretty firm on my stance here. At the end of the day, first of all, the thing we need to say is it's the parents' call. Mm-hmm. We can sit here and talk about it and give our opinion. At the end of the day, the parents have the ability and the power to do whatever. I guess just my opinion is in that there's some tough academic in the short term that have to be aware of. And I think if you can do it earlier, one, you're going to truly benefit the kid more in terms of their foundation. You're still accomplishing the same thing in terms of their age. You know, but I think you're going to get more of that foundation in terms of education and athletics that's going to benefit. Plus, I do think it gets less attention. Now, at the end of the day, if you don't care about the attention, maybe it's the thing. A lot of times when we're talking about boys, it might be tough to tell until they get into that seventh or in that summer going into their eighth grade. But, you know, I think, Derek, the biggest thing is, I love the passion. I know this topic got going last week, and I felt like it maybe cheated our volleyball talk a little bit at the end of the show. But in looking at the feedback, I can tell that the listeners really seem to enjoy it. Just anything that you were hearing on this topic or anything that you would add to someone saying, you know, sports are a great thing. What's wrong with a kid being really good at sports or that much better in the classroom?
I just don't want to be in trouble with Matt Combs. That's all I care about on this topic, all right? Because I know how I see him coach, all right? I don't want him to yell at me. But I'm with you there. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I mean, I think the entire I think you said it perfectly when you said it's the parents' decision. I mean, you know, we're just kind of two guys sitting here with opinions that, you know, they're probably like, well, you know, who cares what these guys think? I mean, but. I think every situation is different. I think I said this last week. Every situation is different. And in each of those situations, it's really up to the parents. But, I mean, yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it. I still kind of stay put, like you said, to where I was last week in my opinion. But, opinions, everybody's got one, right?
Exactly.
Right, and I think on that, Bruce, I think what I would tell is it's kind of like if you're transferring to another school, or if you are going to repeat this, or you're going to do that. I think a lot of times people are fine with it, but you're always going to have those people out there that are going to say, "Well, they have transfers," or "Oh, this kid should be a senior when they're a junior." You just have to be willing to accept that, especially if your kid is an elite athlete. Because let's face it, if the kid does it because they're an elite science student, no one's talking about this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's when it starts to affect the outcome of sporting events and so forth that it starts to get more and more attention.
We also talked a lot about winning a league championship versus a big tournament run. And of course, I think we got down to definitions on that. But someone else pointed out that enrollment can really play a factor in how you may answer this.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys find that hard to believe. Yeah. What? We're 2 weeks in on SVC Sports Talk, and people are talking enrollment again. It's something that's just not going to go away. It's something in our league when you have a discrepancy from top to bottom that you just understand there. So where enrollment was coming in to play here, guys, is they were talking about how there's a lot of smaller schools that simply just don't have the opportunity to realistically compete for a league title. So they have to make sure that they have tournament success to keep their program going. I guess what's funny about this too is if you look at like the dynasty of an Adina volleyball over the years, if not for tournament success for Westfall, or not for tournament success for Uniota, maybe, or Huntington, maybe we wouldn't look at those programs the same way. So I get it. It's just, I think the funniest part for me was just, it's funny how enrollment's going to seem to come up, you know, somewhere in the fall, somewhere in the winter, somewhere in the spring, just about every year on SVC Sports Talk.
All right. And we also had some pretty passionate responses regarding the Ross County Fair. Some families feel it's 1 week, it's tradition. Anything else that you can recall there, Shane, from the feedback?
Yeah, basically, I was told by one person, I just simply didn't get it. I just didn't understand it. that it's tradition. It's a vacation for families. It's a chance to get away. And that's fine. I mean, it doesn't have to be for me. I think the thing I would say, Derek, is just the expectation has to match that. That's what I go by. That's the part as a coach that I stand beside from last week, is if that's what the community stance is, and that's what the administration's going to agree with, then we have to understand expectation wise. I mean, I'm sure you see this all the time when you go around and you're talking to different people throughout the preseason. Think about how much we talked about expectations over the last week and a half on SVC Sports Talk and the Roundtable. Derek, it's tough to have it both ways. I think when you see some of these really elite programs go to work, you start to figure out in a hurry why their culture kind of breeds success, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. I think, look, for me, it's just like, I always think that if you're going to commit to something, you committed to it. And you said, I'm going to be there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to work my butt off to get as good as I can. And, you know, I think maybe I'm on the other side of this coin, because my family's never camped at the Ross County Fair. I went to a city school. In Chillicothe is not really, you know, you do see some 4-H kids from Chillicothe, but you know, you're not going to see the FFA at Chillicothe out there, you know, in full force. So I think maybe I might be, like I said, a little bit biased towards my city tendencies, I guess you could say. To me, the bottom line is, if I commit to play a sport and my team has a practice, I don't care what I'm doing that day. I'm going to practice because I committed to that sport. I guess it's a list of priorities. It happens to be what your priorities are. And I think that me personally, my priority would be that team, my teammates, and going out in the fall and winning and being as good as I can be. But at the same time, I think that, you know, some kids, they care a lot about 4-H. They care a lot about the Ross County Fair. And, you know, that doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean they're right, or neither of us are wrong. It's just kind of how you like to deal with things.
Well, and Bruce, I think the one thing I want to make sure I'm clear on, I don't have a problem with working around a couple of the half days necessary to make sure that kids get the opportunity to show their animal and to do those things. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm talking about here. So I can already tell what some of the emails will say this week and some different things. What I'm saying is, I don't think we can take advantage to the point where we say it's an all day, every day thing, where
right.
We can't expect a volleyball player to be at tryouts, or we can't expect a football player to go, because, you know, I think sometimes kids abuse things of, if you're a junior or you're a senior and you know your spot's kind of there or whatever, it's easy to cheat the system a little bit. So that's all I'm saying is, we can't have kids and families abusing the opportunity. There has to be a sense of honesty of, hey, here's our requirement at the fair, and then we're going to make sure that we work it out to get our requirement with our fall teams as well.
I like the response that said, you just don't get it, Shane.
Well, that's one of many things, probably.
Yeah, I wondered if you discussed this with the wife before you did this.
I always get my dig in. I always think of the commercial, Derek, where it says at the Ross County Fair. You know what I mean? That's about the extent of my excitement for the fair. It's just the commercial.
All right, let's head into the Hurry Up Offense, which is brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club.
Yeah, Crown Hill Golf Club, again, we're so happy to have them on board with us. As I said earlier, give them a call, 740-986-4653. I know they're having some cool opportunity for some dads and their juniors to come out and play. I know my brother was going to take Brevin up there and play. I know Blake Reinhardt and his boys going to go up and play. So a lot of people from the area kind of thinking that's a cool idea, going to go up there and take advantage of that. I don't know if that's something they're going to do more of, but I know Kevin up there is always doing some neat things like that. So, again, always pay attention to that website that's linked on our pages. But give them a call, 740-986-4653. And Bruce, have a good mix of questions here in this week's Hurry Up Offense. Should allow Derek and myself to cover a lot. Derek, I'll have you go first. I'll follow up. And so, Bruce, if you're all right, let's go with the Hurry Up Offense.
Many people were talking Uniondo volleyball in the preseason. After watching them play three times in the opening week, how do you feel about their progress under new coach Natalie Stulley?
I know when Uniondo went after Logan Elm and they got swept by their old coach Aaron Rudenauer, and I think a lot of people wanted to jump ship, but have patience. I think it's going to be just fine. They come back with two sweeps of Waverly and Chillicothe, and let's face it, Logan Elm is no easy place to go and win on the road. But if you talk to Natalie Stulley, she's trying to get her kids to communicate more. She wants them to talk on the court more. And Ashley Taylor and Amanda McGlone look absolutely elite right now. I got the chance to watch them live against Chillicothe this Saturday, and they just look elite. We know Maddie Ebers is going to be good. We know Hallie Pinkerton in the back is going to be good. So I think Uniondo is going to be just fine. They're going to be right up at the top of the conference standings like we thought they were.
Yeah, Bruce. I mean, what happens is, Logan Elm's really, really good. Keep in mind, last year in a 21-4 season, Logan Elm was one of the losses there as well. Really tough opener for Uniondo to go on the road. Nobody knows that team better than Coach Reinhauer. So what happens is, in his scouting report, he was spot on. He really isolated Pinkerton in the back row to where she barely even touched it. They really knew where they wanted to attack and to go away there. They kind of have a unique thing they're utilizing with Taylor and McGlone next to each other. So they're really dominant in a couple different rotation spots, still working out some other spots. So, I agree, Derek. I think that and this is going to come together nicely, and they're going to be a big-time factor in this year's league race.
For the football preseason, we talked about returning quarterbacks of Newland, McCloskey, Ruby, and Gibson. Who of the four new quarterbacks in Blevins, Galloway, Fisher, and Shanton caught your eye the most?
Well, I think when you look at scores, I mean, you look at the 33-0 score of Zane Trace over Logan Elm, and Ty Shanton has to kind of, stand out to you in my mind. He didn't have a lot of passing numbers, but they used his legs a lot, and I think him back there with Etheridge Gaines is going to be really dangerous for teams to stop. We get a better look at him against a better defense and a better team all around this week against Waverly there at Zane Trace when they open their new complex. But I think Ty Shanton he's a good athlete. We know that. He played receiver last year, then they switched to quarterback. So I think he's going to be at the top of the statistic leaderboards all year long.
Yeah, I think what jumps out at me, Bruce, is the fact that there's a lot of winning going on. 3-1 with Piketon, keep in mind, playing a really good Waverly team. So that's the first thing that jumps out at me. I'd probably go with Blevins here just from the standpoint of I didn't think Adina's offense would quite be that productive. So I would probably go with him giving some explosiveness to that, some big playability. But obviously, all of those guys playing pretty well. I also thought it was interesting that Coach Gallion throws it 39 times with Galloway. Now, obviously, the score might indicate trying to come from behind there a little bit. But, looks like we're going to have a good group of quarterbacks 1-8 in the league this year.
With so many sports going on in the fall, what do you guys feel gets lost in the shuffle and deserves more attention than it gets?
Honestly, I think, and I'll admit this, and I'll probably get calls and texts too, but I think it's probably cross country. If you look at the sport as a whole, I mean, you have a Uniondo cross country team that were really ranked first in one state poll in Division II this past week. They got a Tucker Marco, Isaiah West, Eric Hacker, Jonah Phillips, Cater Marco, just to name a few. Jaden Watkins. They're really, really running, at under 17 minutes. A couple of them And, you know, they're just above 17 minutes and with their, you know, number four and number five. So, yeah, I think, and then you look at the other cross-country programs, and I think Zane Trace's girls are going to be good this year. You look at Abby Mohan, Taylor Fletchner there. I mean, and Haley Puckett, Mackenzie Lunsford, Hannah Kerr. And I think of all of them. I'm sorry if I'm missing somebody, but, yeah, I mean, we really have some good cross-country talent in this area. It's just with soccer, boys and girls, football, volleyball, tennis, golf, and it all goes on at the same time. I think sometimes they get lost in shuffle.
Yeah, you know, I thought about cross country, and I know I'll tick somebody off here, but it's just how I feel. I thought about cross country on this answer, but to me, I don't know how much people in the inner circle of cross country do to promote their own sport. I think it's, hey, go look on this website, it's there. Go look on that website, it's there. You know, it's hard to get personable with some of those people and to talk about the kids and the stories and so forth. Maybe later in the year that'll change a little bit as we get closer to the championship. For me, I'm going to go Sylvia Gray and Macy Bridenball to 6-0 starts individually, Uniota tennis team. I think a lot of it has to do with there's not a lot of tennis around our league. In fact, I think that's it on the league side. So I know Derek and I both always try to post the results. I know Derek did an awesome job going out and covering the other night. You know, but obviously in the fall, people got to understand that he's going to maybe get out there a time, maybe two. But I mean, goodness, he has a long, long list of things to do in the fall. So I think that when you look at how dominant they are, maybe it gets overlooked. But at the same time, I think there's just so much, only so much you can do with the busy fall schedule.
Last question comes from the inbox. Hey guys, love the show. I'm more of a basketball fan, but I love high school sports in general. How much can you learn about an improvement of a basketball player by watching them play their fall sport?
Well, first off, thanks for listening to us. You know, us couple knuckleheads, me and Shane. I appreciate that in the first place. But I'm with you. I like basketball myself. It's one of my favorite sports to cover. It's fast paced, and you do see a lot of cross sport athletes, especially on the football field. If you look at basketball, but I'm going to take it in a different way. I'm going to look at girls soccer and a girls basketball player. I mean, I know a lot of people talk about Jayla Campbell and how good she is. Yeah, Uniota there on the soccer field, on the softball field, basketball court, wherever, it doesn't matter. I think she wrestles calves during the fair, as we talked about the fair earlier. She's little. When you talk about a Jayla Campbell, I mean, you can see how good she is and how much she improves just with footwork, just with cardio, just being in shape, period. So I'm going to take it in that way. And I think Jayla will actually really contribute to this year's loaded Uniota girls basketball team, but she's doing work already in the soccer season to get ready for that on the hardwood.
Yeah, that's a good call on the Jayla Campbell. She was our Herbie Strange Athlete of the Week. I watched about 3 or 4 points into the Logan Elm volleyball match with Uniota, and I actually made a comment about basketball. I looked at my wife. I was like, goodness, Jeff is going to be loaded this winter. Look how athletic he's going to be. So, yeah, you watch kids play in the fall, and especially someone who loves basketball as much as me, you start to translate. You know, what you're looking for, Bruce, is you're looking to see maybe how a kid's quickness has improved their body. The best example I can give is when I watched Ella Skeens play last year in her junior volleyball season. That's when I knew, as an opposing coach in the league, that she's there. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there were some things you could at least do if you had a good athlete when she was a freshman, sophomore. What she did with her body between her sophomore and junior year was really unique, and it showed up on the volleyball court to where I could kind of just see, because you already knew the basketball skill was there. Once that became a factor, then you knew the complete player was about ready to have the bust out year that she ended up obviously having.
And that is our Hurry Up Offense, brought to you by Crown Hill. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. We're going to move now into our volleyball section. And one of the big topics that came up this week, the first week of it, is the topic of scheduling, Shane.
Yeah, Derek, I tell you, I was shocked. A couple different people had sent some things or asked me about it. So as the week goes on, what I try to do is once I get a feel for the feedback, I start then trying to go out to some different people and ask them about it. And it's bizarre the different approaches to this. I mean, to me, you'd want to take advantage. You play in that preview clear back on the 19th. Some people not opening till the 29th. Paint Valley only gets the one game. People thought I was being sarcastic on that Monday night, guys. Paint Valley White Oak really was canceled because of the solar eclipse. That wasn't a joke. Like that was the truth. Like White Oak canceled, said they weren't coming. So they only got to play one. I know Adina and Westfall didn't even open. Huntington plays three times, but that's a little deceiving because they played in a tournament on Saturday, so they were off an entire week. Zane Trace the same way, played in a try. So I don't know. With Piketon, Southeastern, Uniota obviously was the busiest, but I think it's very valuable. I mean, if Uniota, they were able to iron some things out this week that I think now has them really prepared to play. I would have hated to see them not take the court, especially under of a little bit of a new guidance there with a new coach. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, to me, if you're a girls basketball coach at Adina, a boys basketball coach at Paint Valley, or boys basketball coach at Zane Trace, I know a lot of times if a baseball coach at Uniota, you know, if you have a sport where the previous sport is just known for making long tournament runs and so forth, you might want that extra practice time. But in the fall, I mean, volleyball coaches have all summer basically where they're hitting the ground running. Their rotations are in place. To me, guys, you'd really want to take advantage of the scheduling. Just any feedback there from coaches or reasons why that's the case there?
I haven't had any feedback, but I can remember in the last couple of years, it's the same way. You have a couple of teams who will play in the first week, or you play 2 to 3 games in the first week, and then you have a couple of teams who will play on that Saturday. They'll play in an invite, kind of like Huntington and Zane Trace did this past weekend. Then you have your handful of teams that don't play at all until this Tuesday. And I never got that. I'm with you there. I'm like, I'd want to be on the court. Say Uniota did not take advantage of that first weekend schedule. Well, then they open up the conference with, Cammy Chandler, Jordan Morris, and Piketon. Mm. And good luck. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm kind of with you there. I wrote what makes me, we put a new feature in called Sunday Morning Quarterback, and it had a what makes me scratch my head segment, and this makes me scratch my head. It has nothing to do with football, but this makes me scratch my head. If I'm a head coach or an AD, I want my team, I want my school, my kids to play the first week non-conference, get out there, get to sweating, get a feel of a team with a new coach or even new players, new teammates, and then go into a conference schedule and then take care of business. So I'm right there with you.
And Bruce, I do know, I know that there's a couple programs, Adina comes to mind, where they have set invites throughout the years and tournaments where, being an elite program, they want to save their non-league days for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I understand the other side of it. And like we were joking about Ron Hinton earlier, who am I to question what Laura Smith's doing?
Yeah, right.
But I'm saying, I'm not talking about Adina here. They might be an outlier. I just think, to me, in general, you'd at least want to try to get one, maybe even two matches in over an 8 to 10 to 12 day period before the league would open up.
Yep. Well, we did have some action. Southeastern started the week 2-0, Uniota 2-1, and Piketon 2-0. And I know both of you saw Uniota and Piketon in person this past week. Derek, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I did. I get, like I said earlier, I got to see Uniota a little bit. Piketon first off in the week when, Macy Conley got her 1,000th assist there. Congratulations to her. And then I'll get to see Piketon again tomorrow, or I guess when this airs today, when Cammy Chandler gets her 1,000th kill. So a couple milestones earlier for the Piketon Red Streaks. But I think Piketon, we talked about their defensive questions the last time we talked about them. And it looks like Gracie Lytle there has stepped up in the back row. We know her from basketball. To try and take Madison Conley's place, and she did a really good job the other night, or when I watched her. And then they have Lexi Frazier back there. Riley Williams, she's a hitter, but she kind of comes in a little bit. So, I think Piketon, obviously the main two pillars are Morris and Chandler. But then you kind of get into the Gracie Lytle and even the Macy McDowell, who's new to the team. You know, I think they're going to be solid just like we thought they were. And I still say they can win 15 or more games. Then you look at a Uniota. I didn't get to see Southeastern this week. I think we know what they're bringing to the table. But you look at a Uniota, I kind of mentioned it earlier. They're just strong throughout. And I tell you, Shane, the player that is most overlooked on that team is Josie Fisher. You look at a Taylor, you look at a McGlone, and even a Hannah Hall, and they get a lot of the recognition, they get a lot of the kills, or even the kill attempts or sets from Maddie Evers. But Josie Fisher, I mean, I don't know if she's obviously gotten better, but when she hits a ball, I mean, I do not want to be in anywhere near that ball. I mean, it's straight down to the ground this year. And last year she had that component, but this year, I mean, she has some power on it, and she puts some zip on the ball. So I think Uniota is going to be really good, and I think they're going to rely on that Josie Fisher kind of sneaking not a little bit to do what they need to do.
Yeah, I think, Bruce, with not a lot surprised me from what I watched with Uniota. I think they're going to be really good. You know, you've heard me talk about them a little bit last week and again earlier in the show tonight. Southeastern, you kind of know what you're going to get. You kind of know what you're looking for. Adine is probably the team out of the big three that I'm still trying to maybe sort out and see where some of their offense is going to come from. When I watched Piketon the other night, it was impressive. You know, Derek, it reminds me a lot of the Huntington teams over the last 10 years where they're so elite at about two or three positions, and then you're starting to maybe sort out the rotation and you're fitting in some new pieces and so forth. But, you know, obviously Chandler's really, really good, really special. But I think what gets lost in that sometimes is how underappreciated Morris is. I mean, she's nice. I mean, it's you know, we've talked about it in terms of I can't think of a better 1-2 punch around. Now, obviously, Southeastern Uniota does have more depth, but these two are legit. I made the comment on Twitter last week when I watched them that, you know, when this team passes the ball to Conley on target, they become as difficult as anybody to handle because of just how elite these two are. And so that's going to make it fun to watch. You know, in fact, when I was down there, Bruce, I had a chance to get some audio from Coach Robbins there at the Pike. Do we have that audio we could play for the fans?
Sure do. Here it is.
Well, Coach, obviously a good week for you with a couple wins. Just watching your team progress over the last couple years, you've just got to feel good about the maturity and the growth. Just kind of give me a sense of where you think they're at right now.
Absolutely. We have been working a lot on movement and getting to the ball and anticipating, because that's kind of always been our struggle. We fundamentally can do it, but we just don't expect the ball to come to us. You know what I mean? So it's just been a matter of like getting the girls all over the floor and getting them scrappy, because, you know, defense can win you games. And they have come out of this season with a great week. They're excited. I mean, the look on their face to have two wins coming into league play starting next week, it gives me the best feeling in the world, just seeing them believe in themselves. And that's always been kind of something that we've tried to stress in building our program. You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe you can win. And seeing them believe is, for me, one of the best feelings in the world. We do have three seniors again this year and a few experienced juniors. And then we've had some underclassmen come up and fill in the roles nicely. And there is just a presence of maturity on the floor, mentality, smart. There's a lot of players that their court awareness, it amazes me. They're able to play and read and cover, and all of them playing together like that is obviously what gets us the win out of them.
Well, confidence is a good word. You can see it in their body language and in the way they
go
about it.
Absolutely.
You know, you guys are really solid at setter. You're obviously as good as anybody when it comes to the two kids that can really get up.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're going to talk about them a lot. But the thing that jumped out at me is evaluating your passing, having an athlete like a Grace in the back and so forth, it really starts to strengthen. When you guys pass the volleyball, you're as good as anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. If we are on passing, we will beat anybody. You know, if we can get that ball to the setter, to our hitters, we will win games. That's what it is. And, you know, we've done a lot of different stuff, a lot of different rotations, a lot of different feels in the back row as far as where is our passing the strongest, you know. And we did put, you know, Grace in the libero position. this year, that's something that after our scrimmages, we realized that we were going to have to do. And all of the girls that are back there working their butts off to pass are doing a great job. You know, all the girls are working their butts off at the net. They're doing great. Macy's doing great trying to get a set out of everything. You know, that's a big thing. So I'm proud of them. I'm excited for this year.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun to watch. I think it's going to be a fun year in the league.
It'll be a really good year in the league. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be night to night, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, just to see how everybody plays each other.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. Appreciate it. You best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Again, I was the Piketon head coach following their winner in Notre Dame as the Lady Red Streaks start 2-0 this week. And, you know, I mentioned Lytle there. I just think that that's a key component of this team. If they're able to pass the volleyball, it's going to be really important for them to try to get these two hitters established. But it'd be interesting. The top three teams are certainly more complete, in my opinion. But Piketon certainly has enough to stick their nose into that top half and have a really special year.
Well, guys, let's play a little bit of over and under with volleyball in mind. And here's are the two that we've come up with. First one is 12.5 to win an outright title. 12.5. Shane, over or under?
I'm going to go over. I think if it's going to be outright title, I mean, basically, now, again, Piketon, perhaps Piketon will prove me wrong. Maybe Piketon jumps in there with the ability to knock one of those top dogs off. I still think Piketon can accomplish everything that they really need to by, more importantly, beating all the teams they're supposed to beat. I think, Derek, in terms of those top three teams that I pegged there at the top, that you have four head-to-head matches with the other two, obviously. And I think a 3-1 clip is what it's going to take to go outright. I think if you split, you're going to need some help. Maybe that's where we get into a co or a try. But I think the 13 are obviously a goal.
I'm a different dude,
but even 13-1, I think, is the number. So I'm going to go over on that 12.5.
All right, Derek.
I'm a different from you. And I'm going to go under. I'm going to go at 12. You guys know I've been high on Piketon for a while. I think the Piketon can knock off one of those teams like an Edina, even a Unyota if they play to how they can play. I think Unyota may be a little too strong, but I think Piketon may beat Edina once this year. So I'm not going to predict the score, but I'm going to say that happens, and then the league winner outright has 12. But like you said, that's when it gets kind of hairy because some other team can have 12 as well. But I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go 12 just to be different.
Little variety there. That's good. Over and under. All right. How about 4.5 teams to win 18 overall matches? Over or under?
That's a lot, you know, but obviously you look back last year and we had four teams win 20 and then Piketon was at 15. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go under. I think I'm going to go for, because I think what's going to happen is I think Piketon's going to get there this year. I just don't know if Huntington, because Huntington still plays a pretty good non-league schedule, mm-hmm. especially for the team they have back this year. So I think Huntington's going to have trouble getting to that 18 mark. Maybe if they have some success into the tournament, depending on their bracket, if they can get away from some certain teams, that's a possibility. I think Huntington's going to be really, really close to making this over, but I see Huntington more when I look at their schedule, maybe around the 16 or 17 mark. So I guess here I'm going to have to go under and say four teams will get there.
Under for Mr. Combs. What say you, Mr. Webb?
I'm going under two, but I'm going with three. I'm going with Piketon, Unyota, and Southeastern. I think those three will make it to the 18 win mark. I think Edina is they're very young. I haven't seen them yet. And I could be completely off. And as we said earlier, you never doubt Laura Smith ever. I think they win 15, 16 games this year. I'm going to go with three then, and I'm going to say Piketon, Southeastern, Unyota all win 18 or more games.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the one thing I will say on Derek's point there is Edina plays a really, tough. Really feel like league schedule. So yeah. When they're going out on the Saturday tournaments, that's a fair point. But you also got to feel like, I guess I'm looking ahead and feeling like in the sectional and district level, as long as we don't have to play each other, a lot of times it's easy for, I shouldn't say easy, but I mean, it's, we're highly favored to get another three or four wins on our way to the regional tournament.
All right. Good stuff. Let's move into our post-game comments brought to you by CNK Athletic Equipment. Again, 116 East High Street in Circleville. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. They are your local school apparel for SVC fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. And they are waiting your call because they've been doing a lot with SVC teams here in the recent past, and we appreciate their sponsorship. Before we get into what you guys have cooking, we wanted to mention that we do thrive on feedback. And if you've got any, we'd like to hear it. Better, good, whatever it is, indifferent, we'd like to hear. You can get a hold of Shane by sending him an email at admin1@svcsportzone.com. He maintains the two profiles on Facebook. You can drop him a message there on either one of those. And, of course, you can always follow him on Twitter and communicate that way at svcsportzone.com. Derek, the doctor, Mr. Dr. Webb at ChillicotheGazette.com. That's Dr. Webb at ChillicotheGazette.com. Do you get any questions in emails about hangnails or anything like that, any medical situations?
No, thank God.
Maybe you'll get one this year or this week. It might might come from DB Knox.
Bruce Knox.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, you can always follow him on Twitter at DW1509, and he is a very good follow. Keep you up to date on all kinds of stuff. Good stuff. And so, Derek, well, before we get into this, I wanted to mention to both of you that I had to be out of town Wednesday night, and I was in Wheeling, West Virginia. And lo and behold, up pops the Chillicothe Gazette's Facebook feed and says, hey, we're live right now. And so I was able to listen to most of the roundtable. And I really enjoyed that. Of course, it sounded like it was pretty much the Shane and Derek show.
Yeah, Mike wouldn't ever be our editor. Mike Throne wasn't able to be there with he was at the Reds game. I thought he was at soccer game for his daughter. Yeah. But he went to the Reds game.
Okay. So the truth came out, though.
But remember, Shane, we talked about priorities.
But that was it. Was a neat use of technology, I felt, and of course my geekiness was really thriving that night. But I applaud you for doing that, and that makes it, you know, all of us that can spare some time on Wednesday night, we can listen if you're going to do that as a regular thing. So I just wanted to mention that I really enjoyed that, and you know, didn't get the feeling that I was there because I was missing the food that you guys were consuming. But otherwise, it was pretty good. So, Derek, what's up this week otherwise at the Chillicothe Gazette?
Well, you know, we got a jam-packed week, as I said earlier. You know, actually tomorrow and Tuesday, we're covering Piketon both times. With Monday, as I said, Cammie Chandler going to get her probably 1,000th kill. She needs 10 or 11 away. Tuesday, they travel to Uniota, which is to open up SVC play, which will be a great game, or should be on paper. Wednesday, we have our high school roundtable, and that's with the Chillicothe Cavaliers this week. Shane and I will get fed once again from Jimmy John, so we can't complain there. And then Thursday, we got Washington Courthouse at Chillicothe Soccer. Then Friday, we have, of course, Friday Night Football, right? And then Saturday, we're covering Uniota at Bishop Watterson, which I think this is a cool element, Shane. Uniota Bishop Watterson girls soccer, but they're playing at Hernstein Field over at Chillicothe's field on the turf. So we'll have that game earlier. And then, of course, we'll go to the other turf Saturday night for Waverly at Zane Trace football. So jam-packed.
Wow. You're going to be busy. You're going to be busy.
Yes.
Shane, of course, a lot of those events you'll be covering, but out of all those events this week, which one are you most looking forward to watching?
Well, I think it's hard to say a favorite. I think, you know, I'm such a big SVC volleyball fan. Anytime you get into league matches, that's exciting. I am excited to see the atmosphere out at Zane Trace on a Saturday night. I know we have the golf there, but I tell you that the round table has really become something that I really enjoy doing. I think it gives us a different perspective. It allows us to get out to maybe a different audience. And it's just been a lot of fun. I think Derek and the Chillicothe Gazette's really onto something there now that the technology, you know, I know in the past, maybe some people loved the show, but couldn't always get to it to listen to it, where now I know Derek several people commented about them being able to go back and listen to the show and how much they like that. So, yeah, I just think it's that's a really cool thing. So obviously all the sporting events that he mentioned are things that I'll be paying close attention to. But that roundtable on Wednesday night there is always a fun thing to get a chance to talk about kids that much more.
And
so,
plus there's the food, right, Shane?
Well, I did have a sub or two or three two. There.
Or fours.
Yeah.
How is it that I'm the one that doesn't get the food? You guys get the food and you don't look like it. I look like I got the food.
I'm getting there, man. I'm getting old, so.
Hey, you're free to come in Wednesday night. Enjoy a sub there, Bruce.
Oh, wow.
So you may have to travel a little bit longer than we do. But I mean,
I do.
I'll even pay for it.
Okay. I've heard this one before.
In the last
edition of Mr. Webb, I think I was promised all kinds of steak dinners and so on and so forth, and now he doesn't work for a company like that. So
that doesn't mean that Longhorn Steakhouse isn't still on Bridge.
I do go.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, guys, I tell you, it is a lot of fun. I do look forward to a jam-packed week. I know, Bruce, you'll see another SVC school there on the Vinton County side of things and get a chance to follow that a little bit and to see how that one goes. But we'll get together there, like I said, Wednesday night there and talk a lot of SVC football as well as the Chillicothe Cavaliers. And then we'll be back here next week and ready to break down more SVC football, SVC golf, and then, of course, the volleyball getting started. So, fans, until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other great sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.